Hello everyone, my name is Ikramat Kadri and you are listening to You Are Important and That's All. In this episode, we will be talking about all the relationship queries that we all have, but yet we don't talk about it. And everything that we consider healthy in a relationship, it might not be that. But let's clear it out with one of the most important guests we have today. She is relationship coach, sex coach, and she will be telling us about all of those things. So please welcome Ms. Jaya Jaiswal. Hi, Jaya.
Hi, Ikra, and thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just doing fine.
Great. So could you introduce us to...
Yeah, so I am a counselor and a sexuality educator. I do sex educate people from the age of 12 to young adults and people till the age of 35. Most of my counseling clients are those.
That's great.
So I have already counseled 700 plus people across country, from abroad also.
That's a huge number, and kudos to you. And it's a great, great work that you're doing. Thank you for I'm honored to have you here. So let's get started with the questions that we have. So honestly, this is a thing, and I would like to know, what is situationship and delusionship? It's the biggest, fakest thing that I've heard. But I want to know, what is it?
Look, situationship, as the name suggests, so it's a romantic relationship or a sexual relationship, which is more than a friend but less than a commitment. Maybe like both of you are allowed to like be in the relationship, but there is no sense of being answerable to anyone. Okay, yes. So it's not going to lead you somewhere. And it's not going to end also. So it's more of that sort.
Oh.
So the basically, what happens is you are allowed to mingle with people other than whoever you are situationship with. So there is a liberty of being with multiple people.
And that's really nice.
Yeah, you're not
answerable. I guess.
There's no commitment thing that needs to be in that relationship. It's like an open relationship where you do whatever you feel like doing, and I'll do whatever I feel like doing, and we are not committed to each other. We are not consistent with each other too.
It's like the friends with benefits, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, I mean, in situationships, you know, we don't have labels, right? But yet we get the gist of being in a relationship, right? So, I want to know, people in that situation, or you can say in some relationships as well, they have this kind of emptiness. For example, there is a couple, right? The one is having the full efforts and the other one is like barely there. And, you know, I don't know why people stay in that relationship, but I guess... 2-3 points are like, I guess, love bombing, hot and cold methods, and toxic masculinity, as we have discussed before.
Like, so you are talking about the relationship or the like in other couples, like in general people, couples you're talking about?
I guess in general couples as well.
Okay.
And in situationships too. So yeah, love bombing is actually common in both, right?
Love bombing is mostly with the people who are most of a narcissistic traits. So what happens is narcissists are people who are very insecure about their own feelings. So what happens is they feel they are the most important thing in the world. And whatever they are self-absorbed, they give too much importance to themselves. It is more like they want you to be just involved in you. That is the reason why they love bomb you. So love bombing is more like...
True.
They'll praise you with adoration, like they'll adore you, like they'll give you gifts, expensive gifts. They'll flatter you with whatever you like. And it's too soon. Like a relationship takes gradual and consistent effort and time to build up. It's not something in 1 month you I get so many expensive gifts and I'm like having expensive dinners and like so many gifts, adoration, and it's all buttery and flattery compliments. So these are the like this can clearly be seen that it is a love bombing. But what happens is a person doesn't understand it because they crave so much for that attention that they benefit that attention. And if someone is not feeding them, like suppose what happens is this happens in cold and hot method also. Like what happens is someone is so much involved in you and suddenly they just pull themselves back so that the other person clings on them and they like that wantingness. That is why they do so.
Yeah, yeah, true, true. They want their approval and consent. Yeah, sometimes it happens because
they want the other person to like be after them.
Exactly. And it also because of hormones, right? So this lead you to the dopamine release and then lead you to the cortisol release. And then you have to be like, you're stressed. You are consecutively stressed throughout the relationship, I guess.
Yeah, because in whatever matters, treatments you are getting, look, the most of the time, it's the narcissistic partner who love bombs you. They'll exploit you. Can see very easily. You can if you if someone is so much craving for attention and love, if they haven't received that from their parents, these are the people who get more attracted to narcissists because they have not got that attention. And suddenly, if someone gives them so much of attention, they feel overwhelmed and they feel that they are the only ones wanted because they don't feel wanted by anyone. And when these narcissist people praise them so much, adore them so much, they feel like it's like a fairy tale story. And they just want it. Everybody craves for it. And this is the way they get it. But what happens is the narcissist person starts to exploit them by like shaming them, making feel guilty about their own emotions. Like everything is about them. Like even if something went wrong and it might not be the other person's fault, but they'll make you feel that it is all because of you, because you did so. That's why this is how I am, or this is why I got angry, or this is why I behaved in such. They every time they have an excuse that it's all because the other person, it's never because of them. And they are the perfect people. They don't need to change. Every fault is in the partner. So they'll make you feel so. Gaslight you also. Gaslight meaning?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. This is true. Yeah,
they gaslight you. Gaslight meaning is they'll make you believe what you saw you didn't see actually. And you start self-doubting yourself. Like, is it true? Am I wrong? It's like you'll start like it's so frequent that you are so obsessed with the love they provide and the gifts they provide. On one hand, they'll make you feel that you are the wanted one, and the other hand, they'll make you feel that everything is wrong in you.
True. So I mean, if someone has to identify a narcissistic partner or a person, so the traits we should see is like. Is he being too much of a victim? Is he playing the victim like, card too often, right?
Whenever you are with such person, you'll see every talk is about them and about their praise, about their self-worth, how good they are. It's more about them. They're so self-absorbed and they like to hear compliments and they like to talk about their own say growth or good things about themselves, even if it is not there, but
their own success,
over exaggerated, and they'll make you feel that they are the king and they are the one superior who are full of good qualities and all that. It's all about them. It's all about like me.
It's all about them.
It's like that. They are very sensitive with negative comments. The moment someone criticizes them, it's like they get so frustrated, angry and arrogant, and their actual behavior can be seen when some negative criticism or comment comes on them. It's just like they can't take it.
Exactly. Their fourth wall just shattered.
Yeah.
So it's like it happens, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like So how is it, I mean, to get out of the re that relationship? So how often do you think anyone can just leave that relationship? Because I have seen that people are really suffering in that relationship, but they want to stay in that relationship. It's hard for them to leave because of this trait, of course. But if someone has to, if what it is your opinion on it? Like, how do you think a person should just break up with such person so that it does not affect both of them?
So actually what happens is those people who get attracted to these narcissist people are the people like in what I'm talking about while in dating things. Okay. So what happens is they are more attracted to people because they even the people the like the women most of the time get attracted to these narcissistic people because they get sudden attention from them. And they know it that they want it, and that is why they use it that way. Okay, so and the self-esteem of these people are very low. So even if suppose you have a low self-esteem and someone shames you or belittles you or makes you feel guilty about their emotions, and they are always it's like the partner's fault, it's never their fault. So it is all the mistakes in the house is all because of you. So what I feel, it is very important to recollect yourself and understand yourself first. That it's not your fault, and it's definitely going to be helpful if some that person goes through therapy first to recollect them first before taking any step. You they need to know themselves. They need to understand why, what is
Exactly.
the reason where they are coming from, like what and what that
To be
person is
healed.
craving for, because you are craving for attention
Exactly.
which you didn't get from your parents or anyone else. You are not closely associated, or you don't have that emotional bond with your parents. So parents play a major role in any relationship, and that actually shows up when you are into like adult relationships. So everything is going to multiplied and come is going to come in front of you when you are into relationship, because relationships are just like mirrors. They'll just reflect what you have.
That is great
And
that
so
you have
that is
said.
why
I
having a
mean,
high
yeah.
self-esteem is very important. And you can get it only by when you start working on yourself. When you surround
That
yourself
agreed.
with people who praise you, like even if you are there with that, suppose you are married to a narcissist person, but you have to be strong enough, and this needs help. You this needs people who support you, like family mem other family members. It could be your mother, father, and therapist. Because they you need constant support, because you are a rock bottom phase of your life where someone needs to pick you with support. And with everyone's support, and when you start supporting yourself, it will take time, but definitely you'll able to recollect yourself and pull yourself up. Because you need to know your self-worth. The moment you know your self-worth, you feel confident about yourself, and you feel that no, I'm not just a doormat, and you just cannot treat me like that.
Exactly.
So when you develop
This is
that
so true, man.
self-worth, yeah, then things start changing.
You have to work on yourself first in order to, you know, protect yourself. Because of course, and you know, this is an irony. People who go to therapist because of the people who needed to go to the therapist first, you know. These narcissistic people needed to go to the therapist first because they need therapists more than the ones
Yeah,
the
but
people who
it's
do
so
go,
difficult for them
right?
to even understand that they are at fault. They're not going to just understand and
And
take it.
they don't
Yeah.
take the we cannot even convince them that, because
Exactly,
it will take
exactly.
they will you know it will shatter their ego, or their ego is
Exactly,
that too
exactly.
high,
They're
so you
egoistic
can't say
people.
that to it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just want to know, is like what are the green flags in a partner? Because you know, we have seen, we have grown with our parents, and we have seen there are like some days are good, some days are really toxic, and you know who goes in between those days? There are children who are just been
Exactly,
grinding in
exactly.
between. And you know, if I want to see some green flags in a partner or someone like me, how do you think, what are the green flags one should seek in a partner?
Like suppose when you are with the partner, you are able to feel whatever you feel, and like you are able, like are you able to hear me? Your screen is freezing, yeah. So your partner makes you feel that
I guess it's because of...
you are okay with them. So your partner makes you, when you are in a with a partner who makes you feel good about yourself, who don't, who does not belittle you, or he does not shame you in front of people, that there has to be like mutuality and a sense of respect within like that relationship, like how a person reacts when they are angry. That's very important to notice, because being angry is okay. It's an emotion which needs to come out. Yes. But be angry, and you have to be respectful while you are angry also. These are things which we are not taught. But when people are into a relationship, through trial and error, when you communicate things about what you need, how you feel in a right way, obviously that clarity comes up. So you, like, you can be you in front of that partner. You don't have to think like... think of hiding anything from your partner. Like, obviously, definitely, he needs to accept you as you are. That would be the best thing. Like, being accepted by someone as you are, that's the most beautiful thing, I guess.
It is.
Be it parents, it's very, be it, you know, partner. Rare. That is, yeah, that is all we all are craving for, acceptance, right? Whoever it is.
Accepting me, yes,
the way I am. This is the one thing which you'll hear from most of the people. Because what happens is...
Yeah,
what happens is...
So,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'll complete after.
Look, what happens is when it is always like we don't want to change. We always want the other person to change. In any relationship, if you take it, we don't want us to change. And we always expect the other person to change. Because it takes a lot of effort and responsibility and courage to bring change into our lives. So it is easy to blame the other person to make the change. Right?
True. So we, like, some, it should not be like we are walking on eggshells around them.
Exactly.
Like, to be accepted as we are is important. Yeah, because I have seen this case, I wouldn't mention a name, but I've seen this case where this fiance was trying to convince that you should lose weight, you look better. I mean, if you really like the girl, why are you even just saying that? It's very disrespecting, first of all. It's very disrespectful to her, and it's embarrassing for you as well. But people don't understand that more often. And yeah. I guess it's... Yeah, these type of people are, I don't think so, are even valuable. But somehow people just, sometimes, you know, these days we go for face. We go for faces. It was like, he's a nice guy. He's a nice girl. She's beautiful. Or he's handsome. But yeah, it's more about the looks. But, you know, these days, I don't think so. Anyone is ready to accept them as they are. And moreover, this is like very toxicity in girls as well. And you can say in boys that if someone likes you first, they lose the interest. You know, you like someone, for example, I like someone, and the moment he likes me back, and then this, you know, this connection, this attraction is gone. It happens. Yeah, it
because
happens
you have
a lot.
Achieved it. That's why that attraction seems to go. Because you exactly. got what you wanted, yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is what happens these days. And in teenagers, mostly. I've seen in my college, I've seen with a lot of people. So one of the green flags is that the person, a partner, should accept you as you are. Which is, I guess, it's beautiful. I really like it.
So culturally, in every culture, like in India, if you see, whenever you go to a party or a marriage party, there's always this auntie or this uncle or the brother or the sister where they just see you. They're not going to ask you, how are you and how your work has been. It's like, you are becoming so fat. You got a tan on your face. It's all about the looks. And they don't even hesitate to comment on your body. You look too skinny.
Exactly. I mean,
you look too fat. These are the common comments which every now and then you will be able to hear from, like, most of the people.
Exactly. And it's just not because, just not any teenager, they comment also on like their own age group. ठीक है, it's like it's messed up because my mom goes to the parties and she comes home and she's like very, you know, she was sad one day. So I asked her what happened. She's like, you know, I think I'm becoming fat. Yesterday she felt so great about going to this party, and now when she came back, she was so sad, and I was kind of angry on those people. Like, have you look at yourself? You're no Miss Universe. How can you just say to someone else? Like, people don't judge themselves. This is how.
Because we have self-doubt about how do I look. Like, even people around us makes us feel bad about ourselves. But when you feel good about yourself, nothing shakes you. So you have to be confident about however you look. I love myself. I love my body. I love my looks for whatever it does and whatever has been given to me. So that confidence
Exactly.
has to be there. Yeah. So all depends on
Confidence and
self-esteem. So that's why I feel self-esteem
yes.
is so important to be built up in children as well. Because every time you see, there are parents who keep commenting on their child's height, weight, voice, maleness, femaleness, boldness, dullness.
Yes.
Every time there's
I
something
mean,
or the other coming up.
exactly, that is true. I mean, if a boy is crying over something, you should not cry. You're a boy. If a girl is being too outgoing and she's being an athlete, or she's going out more often, she's like, you're a girl. You should. I mean, this is all about society. I feel so. This is we can blame the society for that because it's been too patriarchal. I cannot say that, but yeah, it
That's
is.
why we are here to talk and bring the change.
Yeah, we should, because these taboos are way going out on our
And
hands
we have to
from
start
hands.
doing
I
this
can.
within our families.
Yeah.
Just because just talking is won't help. At our level, we have to like see whether these things happen in our house or around us, in our relatives and friends, because we need to call them out. Like, this is not the way. Because my Miliko, what happens is my son is very skinny. So everybody is like, बहुत दुबला है and he doesn't eat or something, या पतलू पतलू पतलू. And obviously, the people who are healthy, they get a tag of a motu. So you're not supposed. So when I tell my child, when my son says that, see, this person told me that, and I reach out to that person and make it a point that this is something called body shaming, and you are not allowed to
Exactly.
make any other person feel bad about themselves. And one day, my son also
This
was
is
doing the
true.
same thing. Because it's so voluntary that we
Oh.
don't get to know when we feel bad when we are told, but we are
Yeah.
doing also the same thing. So I make it a point to point it out that this is also body shaming when you tell someone that you are such a stupid person, or you look so fat, or you look so dark. So these are all a
That
part of the.
is.
We need to clarify these things to our kids also, because they're like adult. It's so random comes. In our family, that every now and then, every friend or relative or something or someone or the other is commenting. So every time there is a comment, we need to like point it out or call it out. Yeah, this is not okay. But this also comes under body shaming. So until and unless, so now with my son, it has become a try. After doing this so much of trial and error, even if he feels like saying it, if he is in a friends group or something, so he controls him back. So like होता है ना कि बोल रहे थे and बोलते बोलते just. I said that's okay. Like in front of me also, sometimes this happens. And I said I'm really happy that you at least realized it that you shouldn't be speaking such way, and you just control
Exactly.
yourself, because that appreciation is also going to motivate what you are doing is
Yes.
good. So you even children need
This
that.
is just true. They do need that. And the healthy parenting just leads you to the healthy future of your child, you know? It's great. And honestly, body shaming is like way too often been
And
happening
most
everywhere.
people
And you know,
who have, And most people who have this sexual shame, sexual embarrassment, or body image concerns during like while having sex or during in relationship, like to open up or express, it's all these childhood issues which they have been commented that your height is so short, you're like you are not good enough. So they think start when someone comments them, it's not true, but they create and assume it to
Exactly.
be true. And it builds up over the years, it builds up, and it is going to show in relationships. You feel
This
sexually
is really,
insecure,
yeah.
and you feel so uncomfortable and insecure. For be it for
you
complexion,
do feel
be it
insecure
for
in your
height.
own body,
Exactly, exactly.
right.
Like women are so much like concerned about their body, like the complexion. What people are showing in the marketing industry is so showing is that the skin is flawless. The skin should be flawless. But in reality, skin is not supposed to be flawless. It is going to have pigmentation. It is going to have birthmarks. It is going to have mole. It is going to have pimples. It is going to have marks. So these things are quite common, but we don't want to accept it because what has been portrayed to us through marketing industry is that skin is supposed to be flawless.
It's not flawless. Skin is not supposed to be. If you have flaws, then you are human. And I think people don't understand it more often. It's just, and you know, it's very, you know, when we have a little, you know, we do have, like, when we sit in a group, we joke, okay, and there's a joke coming from this corner and that corner, and then you know, suddenly the body shaming comes under the joke, and you know, it is not a joke. You're actually, you know, if even if it's a joke, the one who's getting
It
that, in
pinches
whom you
people,
are
yeah.
actually porting to it, yeah, it's actually in their mind subconsciously, and they think all day about it. You know, they
Yes.
do not think about before saying it, but it is. And sometimes I feel like people do it out of jealousy as well, because they are insecure about themselves, so they want to make other person insecure about
Yeah,
it. So
definitely. Just it's
it's all
like
about it,
holding
right?
two sticks, and just to make ourselves feel good, we just break the other stick to make them feel down.
Exactly. I don't know from where we have learned this, maybe from Western culture. But yeah. And I want to ask you this thing. Okay, this recently this friend of mine, he said that he liked the girl, okay, and the girl was actually in a long relationship before, and
With someone else.
these guys, with someone else, and now he's been friends with her, and it's been, I guess, 3 months since they've been friends, and he kind of liked the girl, and so he told him that I like you. So she was like, I don't want to be in a relationship because I got out of it, and I think it's I'm not in a place to be right now. So he's like, okay, fine. And now he came to me one day, and he's like, I think I'm insecure about myself. She said no because I think I don't
I'm not good
look
enough.
as
Yeah.
good. Yeah, I'm not good enough. I don't look good in such way. So she's like, she rejected me, that's why. So I honestly think that it's because of it isn't because of that. I think genuinely sometimes it happens because someone does not want to get into a relationship too
Because maybe
soon.
they have not overcome that situation of whatever their feelings and emotion, they are still clinging on the other person. They need space and time to heal, and it's a process. It's not just one thing. Some people take 3 months, some take 6 months, some take 1 year even, and some take few years, and some get over even just in a month. So it varies person to person, like how intensely you are into it and how quickly you bounce back, how resilient you are.
And if a girl said no, then I think he said that still, then he's like, I am still a friend of hers, but I do not want to be friends, you know, because just because she said no, he does not want to be friends anymore. But she is trying to get, I think there is a thing called rebound. I think she's also using him for moving
Attention,
on from the
yeah.
previous boyfriend. Yeah, I think. Do you think it's a healthy concept? Because I don't
No,
feel so. Having a
actually,
rebound.
no. What I would say, like, tell you is, it is very important to take time out from that relationship to understand what went wrong in that relationship. Like, suppose if even if it was the someone other person's fault, suppose it was your partner's fault. Okay, so fault has to be from both the sides. It's never 100% the other person. Even if the other person had 70%, still there was 30% which you were there. That 30% of the mistake was whether you didn't stand up for yourself at the right moment. It could be any situation, like whatever the situation, it could be that you didn't speak up on time.
True,
Or
true.
because what
That is a
happens is
point.
breakup doesn't happen in a day. It's a long, gradual, consistent process, and when it happens, and when you suppose if someone is not communicating, like you are feeling something bad, any action of your partner is you feel bad about, and you explain them that, look, I don't like like you when you say this, but it's a lot. It makes a lot of difference on how you say it. Look, because what happens is we are not taught how to communicate. I think communication is so important, because what happens is whenever there is a fight, we just bust out and we say whatever we feel like you are lower like this, you are like that, and you don't do this to me, and you don't do this to me. So suppose you don't explain how you are feeling it. It is very important to understand how you are feeling and expressing that person without blaming that how you are feeling about yourself. Right.
Letting them know about us. Yeah.
Because that is not what we are taught. Like, suppose it seems like what happens is, suppose there is a fight between two people, and like they are like talking like in a not a very respectful manner, and someone says that you are overreacting. Like, suppose one of the partners says you are overreacting. So how the other person could say is, like, it seems you are overwhelmed. I feel my feelings invalidated when you say it's not a big deal. So what happens is you are not blaming the other person. You are just putting forward what you feel when the other person said so. So that the other person also gets aware that, yeah, so that is like, you feel like invalidated. So it could be like,
that is true.
Let the emotions settle down, and we can come back when we can talk respectfully later and do address these issues. Because what happens is we try to brush up the difficult talks. Because not because we don't want to address it, it's just that we don't know how to do it. We get scared that again we might end up fighting.
Exactly. It is. I mean, it's been like so long, but I don't know, but it does happen, right? I mean, these days too. But you know, whenever you're talking to your parents, your mother, it does happen. You know, your mother, your parents, they don't have that kind of a counseling, or these days we are more exposed to. Yeah. So we are more exposed to more new things about, you know, mental health issues. We know what is it. These people, like old people, really do not know about it. So they don't address it. And if you're trying to explain them, they just put it on you. It's like these kids these days have different vocabulary.
These next generation people, they don't understand. Exactly.
Yeah. And very soft and sensitive you guys are. To be soft and sensitive, I think it's a blessing.
And it's a good thing, exactly. People take it as a negative thing, and that you are expressing your emotions and you are crying. This is not something good. But in the whole, the history, I feel the Gen Zs are the people who are open and talking about everything so openly, like so emotionally, and expressing themselves. Even nowadays, I can see men expressing themselves, like crying in the crowd. Like what Rafael Nadal had a video when he was leaving his tennis. I really love that.
Yeah.
Because it is an example. Because what happens is men don't have any good example to see and look up to such
that
people. Now, if some celebrity does that, it validates that feeling of theirs also. Okay, even men can cry.
Men can cry, because you have seen such movies like Kabir Singh, and now there's a movie called Animal, and there are like a lot of things where portray toxic masculinity. And you know, men crave to be like that. For them, it's like to be strong. To be toxic masculine, it's like to be strong. And it, you know what shatters their ego is that when someone friend zones them, you know, they don't want to be friend zoned. Like by any girl, and it's like it's very disrespecting to them. It's very you know, they're too egoistic for that. I think if someone needs a friend, they need a friend. They don't want someone to be drooling on their shoulder about it, right? But people don't understand that more often. And toxic masculinity is like a huge. I have been like shocked when I see such people, even in my campus, or if you say sometimes it's in your family as well. Touch wood, not my father, but some people in the, you know, family are like that. So they think it's very normal to be toxic masculine. I don't think so. It is.
It is.
I just want to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, what happens is like when we say toxic masculinity, what we actually mean is there are some behaviors that are justified for men and how they should behave. Now, which becomes very harmful for both men and women and the society as a whole. Like when a man is shamed for being emotional or for crying, we often hear the statements like men, boys don't cry or men don't cry. And this itself is so toxic because it has a negative impact in the future like relationship where you are not able to express your emotion, because if you express, they are not allowed to be vulnerable. So this is this is a sort of toxic masculinity which is hampering both. It's not that it's hampering them also. It is hampering with people around them also and society as a whole.
That is true. I mean, it's like toxic masculinity does also, you know, sometimes men dictate what women should do, which is bizarre because I have seen this case and like women should not do this, women should not do that. And you know what happens is that when they have their own daughters, it does not imply on them. It does only it only implies on the women. if it's someone who works or who they think are more powerful, are like, you know, more outgoing, powerful, confident women. No. They see them as a threat. I feel
exactly. They see them as a threat.
Yeah, and for them it's like, I am masculine, I am man, I am supposed to be that. And then they start slut shaming and shaming on the basis of body
like men are allowed to do this. Like suppose I had a case also, like a man was there who was having multiple, out of marriage, he was having affair with someone, a long-term affair, he was out of marriage, he was having. And one of the person, like in the family members, they were said that, yeah, men are like that. So this is obviously this is toxic masculinity. You are not supposed to have, like, you have to be committed with whoever you are, whether it is for but such incidents are there, like whether it's for emotionally, whether it's for physical intimacy or whatever it is. But still, never will be acceptable to the partner. Now, if the case reverses, if the case reverses, now everything is like, you should be able to handle your husband. You should be able to control your husband. It's all on the woman's shoulder now. You are not able to control or seduce your partner, this and that. It's all because of the women. These things are there.
Everything goes and comes to the woman. It's a messed up society, but what can one say? Closures. If I want to talk about closures, is it healthy to have closures with friends that were friends before?
Closure in relationships you're talking about?
I have personally, I think I can connect to friends because I've never been into relationship, so I do not know much. But if it's friends, like for example, I had a lot of friends, okay? So I had like 6 to 7 friends here in college. And you know what college friends are and how college friends are. So it's like college ke friends, college ke tak. So I have learned this now, but I didn't know before. So now the thing is that, do I need to seek a closure from them? Or should I just leave it and move on?
Because as friends, I don't feel there's something so intense about it. So I don't feel there is a requirement. If someone is your best friend, then definitely you will want a closure. What is closure? If you try to understand what is closure, it's a process. Like there is a pain when you go through, whether it is a relationship ends, even in a friendship, like if two best friends are not on the same page or they fight for something and they are not gelling now, and definitely they have the right to know what is the reason behind we are breaking up in that manner. So just having that right to know why the person so close now no longer wants to be in that relationship, be it a friend or be it a partner, a romantic partner.
For a romantic partner, is it right to have closure?
It is the need a closure. No, it is a need because it becomes easier for the partner to move on. There's no hope that, because every time you see there is a breakup, there's always a clinging back, because everybody wants to go back to that same person, the same comfort level.
That is so, so true.
That hope ends. We need to end that hope, because it was not a one day incident. It took consistent, gradual process of coming up to a breakup. There was a reason. But just because we are so clinging and they want to be loved from the other person, we feel like going back to them again. Because we want that. We crave for
it
that.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. It's so real.
It does.
And so that is why closure is so important.
Yeah. It is. It's like Ross and Rachel. It's like on and off, and off. It happens until you get a closure.
So that is why when you get the answer to all your questions, like whatever questions you have in mind, like I didn't do like this. Why did she do like this? There are several questions that goes in a mind when someone says that I'm breaking up. I don't want to be friend with you, whatever it is. So the other person also has the right to know what went wrong, or did I make any mistake, or what went wrong, to understand that this is where things are ending.
Yes, that is true. Closure is very important. I think everyone should need a closure. It's
coming. Yeah.
And but last question I want to ask, because people like me, so everyone say, being a single person and staying single, I think it's a worse thing. I don't think so. It's a worse thing. So do you think staying single, alone and happy is a hoax?
I don't think it's a hoax, definitely. There are many people who want to be single. And they are happy being single. Because they are different. And they have different choices for their life. Many times what happens is they have seen so much of drama around them that they don't want to be a part of that. Like, be it their parents,
that is true. That
their
is why.
Family members. Yeah. And
there
it is...
be like friends.
Yeah, it's not that they are not having relationships. It's not that they are not having emotional bond with someone. Obviously, there are people around them with whom they are pouring their heart out. But being single is a choice.
It's a choice. And, you know, it sometimes it happens like being single is like you are at peace, you know.
Exactly.
You don't have to, you don't have to take care of someone else. It's fine. If you can take care of someone else, you can love someone else.
Exactly. Being in a relationship is a lot of work. And most of the times, what happens is, it's like someone is 50%, someone is 80%. Like in that moment, in that situation, be it a marriage or a partnership, whatever it is, everybody cannot give you 100% in that moment. So are you ready for taking that sometime you have to show up 90%, sometime you have to show up 10%. There might be a phase in your life where you are showing up 10%. So that balance has to be towards the partner. When they each other understand each other, then that balance is made. But it is... to get to that point of understanding, to that level that I am giving 90, and some days even I switch to 30, and that is where you need to stand up and support. That is a lot of work. You have to change yourself a lot. You have to invest a lot of energy, work to it.
That is true.
And you have to make it work. It's not that it's going to work. You both have to make it work. Constant,
also,
like you have to constantly water it.
Yes, exactly. You have to constantly water it. You have to work on it, and you have to be there for it. And you cannot just make, you know, you cannot be selfish all the time in the relationship. You have to be selfless, because you're two in a relationship, right? So it happens. Yeah. So, and you know, keeping your high standards high, I guess it also helps in, you know, in the saturation, you know, in the selection process of a partner.
Exactly.
Because sometimes they say that your standards are too high, you cannot find a man or you cannot find a guy. I mean, it makes me away from trash, you know. Sometimes it happens.
Like,
you
the
know,
more you
does.
Know of, if you are aware, what are you expecting and what are you wanting from your partner, or how you see a person when you interact. Like, what happens is attraction sometimes misguides you. Like, if it's a teenage phase and there's a whole lot of hormone rages that's going on, that actually creating dopamine rush into your body. And what happens, that physical attraction is something very activated in that time, during 15 to say 25 years. Actually, the brain is also not matured. Our prefrontal cortex, that is the logical brain, it's not developed till the age of 25.
Okay. So
all the teenage or the people from 15 to 25, they behave from a backside of the brain, which is associated with feeling brain, which we call as a midbrain, and which is based more about on the feeling part. So whatever it's whatever happens, whenever teenage says you don't understand, my parents don't understand, they don't understand because and obviously parents don't understand because they are operating out of logic and the teenager is operating out of feelings. How you make them feel is very important, and that is how they behave. So if you what happens is
exactly
parents make them humiliated so that they do something. And they are not going to do until and unless they are made to motivated to feel good about themselves. They have to be in a happy state of mind to make them do anything.
That is true.
You cannot humiliate anyone and shame anyone and get your work done. This is now not how even adults work.
You know, that is so true. You have to actually give them the boost and, you know, confidence, you know. So it's just, it works like that. It happened to me. It is actually happening to my brother, who is actually who's 17 right now. So he does not listen to my parents because they talk to him in strict ways.
Order type situation.
So he's like, I won't do it. I'll be rebellious. Whatever they say, I won't even do that. So he's
we are just on the opposite side, just to make them pissed off of whatever they are saying. Just as a revengeful act.
Yeah, that is true. Yes, yeah, that's so true. So it happens. And thank you so much for all the queries and the answers that you gave me. It's the best thing today. I have interacted with this is the best thing today in my days, you know. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. And I will definitely let your LinkedIn in the description so that people can reach out to you as well if they want to. Thank you, Jaya, for this
amazing
session.
Ukra. Yeah, it was wonderful talking to you.
And I hope we'll have some sessions in future too.
So yeah, we might
I'll
be doing
look forward for it. Yeah, that will be great. Thank you so much for all the efforts. I think you're the best. Deputy on my podcast. And have a great day. And I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Sure. Bye bye. Have a nice day.
Bye bye. You too. Bye bye.